Amen. Well, turn with me tonight, if you will, to Daniel chapter 10 for a message entitled "The Warfare is Real." Let me say thank you to Jonathan again for leading us today. Our prayers continue to be with Brother Mitch, and appreciate the praise team. Daniel, just somewhat towards the end of the Old Testament, so just a few books before Matthew there might be an easy way to find it. And I've kind of been looking at different texts as we go through this Sunday night series on spiritual battle. And tonight I want to look at a passage that I think shows us that the warfare is very real. And it's real in the spiritual nature of it from both ends. And this passage in Daniel helps us see that, I think, clearly. So just remain seated tonight for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word, Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be to you. Be strong, yes, be strong. So when he had spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. For when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this word, and I thank you, Lord, for this study on spiritual warfare. I do believe, Lord, that you've led us to it for such a time as this. I believe that there are different individuals, families, even ways that our church needs to be strengthened in this way of spiritual battle. We need to grow in our understanding of what's going on in the spiritual realm and how to fix humanity. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would eventually be armed, that we would grow in our response in spiritual warfare, Lord, that we would know how to do it, that we would stand firm, that we would pray very strongly, that we would know that you are much more powerful than any foe that opposes us. And yet we're living in a time period where there is true warfare in the spiritual realm. So I pray that you'd help us learn tonight, not just about spiritual warfare and that it's going on, but that we would learn how to react to it, how to respond, how to stand strong in prayer, how to trust you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The warfare is real. Well, I just want to talk about four insights tonight from this text, and I would say from Daniel as well, because all of what I'll talk about is not in this immediate text. But number one, I want to look at the insight about Daniel. Just as with Job, we need to consider the character of this man, Daniel. And what we find is a solid and a very faithful character. Daniel was a man of God indeed. And one of the interesting things about Daniel is that he lived out his faith in a pagan land surrounded by idolatry and sin. You know, it's hard enough when we live in a place like you and I do, where we can at least come to church every week. We can read our Bible every day. You know, we're not, so far, we're not worried about the law breaking in to take our Bible away at home. Believe you me, friend, there are millions, even a few billion people in this world that are worried about that. We can assemble ourselves. We can pray. We can sing, and we can do it pretty openly and without fear. We might even hear some actual things about Christ on our radio occasionally during this Christmas season in the land in which we live. Think about, you know how hard it is to live the Christian life in our context that's like that, right? Not too easy to live the Christian life in our context. But imagine if you were the only Christian or one of the handful that were, and every day you woke up where everybody else had some other idolatrous religion. And they didn't care about God's word. And they didn't live their life according to the laws of love and the law of Moses or anything like that. And furthermore, they hated the folks that did and persecuted them greatly. In fact, they demanded that you worship their God. They demanded that you worship the king even. It'd be real hard to be faithful and living out your faith in a context like that, right? But such is the case with Daniel, my friend. He lived in a really, really tough, idolatrous, sinful place, and yet he was faithful. If we do a little math, we understand that Daniel was probably captured as a teenager. They captured some of the very young noblemen, among whom Daniel was one. And he lived through the entire 70-year Babylonian captivity and into the Medo-Persian Empire's rule. And one thing it tells us is that Daniel is faithful over the long haul. He surely was in his 80s by the time of the lion's den thing, for example. And probably in his mid to late 80s when the events happened that are in this text right here. They're already in the Medo-Persian Empire, so you understand, right, that he was there during that whole 70 years, and that's part of what's going on is it's being revealed to him, the set times and all, and even some things that's going to happen far into the future, and God is using the faithful instrument Daniel to communicate some of those things that we now have in Daniel, and or some of those things are reiterated in the book of Revelation, for example. So, you know, he walked with God as a young man, and he walked with God as an older man. and he walked with God everywhere in between. And that's somewhat of a rare thing. I mean, some didn't walk with God when they were young, but God changed them, and now they're going to finish strong. Others started with a great foundation, but somewhere along the way, Satan got the best of them, led them to the world, and they didn't finish strong. But Daniel is one of those who started out pretty well and ended very well. So he chose to be an influencer instead of one being influenced by the world, and how hard that is. We need God in order to stay strong and faithful, even when in a very worldly situation like this. So God used Daniel greatly, in part, I believe, because of his faithfulness. But Daniel did experience his share of spiritual battle, right? He was tempted greatly. He was tempted under penalty of death multiple times in his life. If you don't do what I say, even though it's against your religion, I'm going to have your head. I'll have you thrown in the lion's den. His buddies were thrown into the fire, right? But he chose to remain faithful even against that tough of a temptation. And there have been some people groups, friend, throughout the years that meet that kind of temptation. Think about some of these in recent years taken by the terrorists, and some of what they say is, are you going to change your religion to Islam or die? That's a pretty big temptation, right? That's what Daniel faced. Are you going to bow to our God or die? And Daniel said, well, you can throw me in the lion's den. I'm not going to bow to you. I'm not going to bow to your God. Pretty tight, pretty tough, especially when you personalize it and say, what would I do under those circumstances? And I hope that you would be as faithful as he was. But think about the temptation he's under when in a situation like that. Tempted to worship idols, tempted to worship kings, tempted to violate the Jewish law by eating things that, he wasn't really allowed to eat by his faith. But he remained faithful, and part of that is because he learned how to do spiritual battle well, especially in the area of prayer, which we're going to find out is a key. And because he remained faithful, he got to see two pagan kings at least acknowledge that the God of Daniel is the true and living God. That's pretty powerful now. To have guys that were dictators, that were absolutely ruthless, come to a point because of something surrounding what's going on in Daniel's life, and they say, I know one thing, the God of Daniel, he's a true and living God. He's a God that does the miraculous. He's the God that saves, is one of the way Nebuchadnezzar put it, right? So what we see by way of insight is that spiritual battle happens even surrounding men and women of godly character, such as Job and Daniel. And in fact, I want us to come to see from this study that the closer you get to the Lord, the more spiritual battle you will have. That's what we see, especially from some of these narratives like this. The more you live as a witness for the Lord, certainly the more spiritual battle you'll have. Or as one author put it, the closer you get to the cross, the more Satan opposes you. That was true for Jesus himself, but it's been true of all of his followers too. In fact, a lot of his immediate followers fled the closer Jesus got to the cross, right? Because they didn't hold up under spiritual battle. And we know it was spiritual battle. We're going to look at an occasion or two of it. But Jesus said to Peter that night before, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. So it is spiritual battle, and that's the demon of all demons, right, who's involved. So, you know, Satan, he's just, I don't believe he's that concerned about feel-good churches and social gospel-only churches. He's not too concerned with dead churches that are inwardly focused, that sing songs as if to themselves, and then go on. The truth is, he already has them doing his will. Nothing for Jesus. Nothing to advance the kingdom. But when you, as an individual, or when any church says, we're going to do what Jesus said, and we're going to really try to live it out. In fact, we're going to be witnesses to him and try to advance his kingdom. Well, you better get ready for spiritual battle, and that's okay. But that's why we need a series on spiritual battle, right? So we'll be more prepared when he attacks. But, you know, he's not going to attack those who aren't doing anything for the Lord. He's going to attack the Jobs and the Daniels and the Jesus and the Peter and the Paul. And hopefully you could insert your name because you're trying to live for Jesus now. And he is not going to let up on you, so you have to learn how to respond. So we truly ought to dare to be a Daniel, as the old saying goes, but we better learn how to do spiritual battle as Daniel did also. Not only the insight about Daniel, but secondly, the insight about spiritual warfare. From this passage, you know, we suppose that this was an angel indeed that came to Daniel with a revelation. And yes, I know it calls him a man, as several passages do, that turn out to be an angelic being. But the great consensus among scholars is that demonic forces struggle to hold back this angel from coming in answer to Daniel's prayer. And the demonic forces succeeded in doing that for a while. In fact, 21 days. Until Michael, called the Prince of Persia here, many believe Michael the archangel, came to the aid of this other angel, and now he was able to get through to Daniel as the demonic forces were held back. Scholar William MacDonald said, since Michael the archangel and protector of Israel is called into the fray, it must be an evil angelic power, one stronger than a merely human prince. Leon Wood, in his commentary on Daniel, explains, because Greece also would have a similar prince assigned to her in due time, according to verse 20, and God's people would be under Greece's jurisdiction following Persia's fall to Greece, which was coming. The suggestion seems reasonable that Satan often assigns special emissaries to influence governments against the people of God. Certainly, this chapter has much to contribute regarding the nature of struggles between the higher powers in reference to God's program on earth. So what I'm saying to you is my view, which is one held by many, is that an angel was being sent with this vision and revelation to Daniel in answer to Daniel's prayer. But a demonic force held that angel back for 21 days. You know, this passage says, hey, your prayer was heard when you prayed it. And I was sent, but I was held back 21 days until Michael the prince came to my aid and helped me get through, in layman's terms. So what we need to remember, you know, is that spiritual warfare is not just a battle between our own flesh and the Holy Spirit. It is a battle in the spiritual realm going on between the demonic forces and the holy forces, and humanity is affected by it. And this is one of the texts that I believe make that pretty clear. You know, the warfare is real. Obviously, we already looked at another narrative that demonstrated it absolutely clearly in Job chapter 1, right? It's Satan came and was the accuser of Job before God himself. Satan got permission to do a few torturous things to Job. So there's real spiritual battle there, you know, not just battle with our own sinful flesh. No, there's spiritual wars in the heavenly places, in the heavenly realms, and we are affected by it. And there's plenty of clear theology to back up that. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In Acts chapter 26, Paul quotes Jesus as saying, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So again, the warfare is real. Satan is vying for God's control. Demons are opposing angels and mankind. Let me be clear where the rubber meets the road. Satan is opposing you and Highland Baptist Church. And especially if you really are trying to live for Jesus, and most especially if you're doing anything to share the gospel. Satan's against you, friend, if that describes you in the least. And he's opposing you with his demonic power and his other demons that work along with him. Insight about Daniel, insight about spiritual battle. Third, an insight about prayer. This spiritual battle, it ensued because of prayer. You know, we might want to throw our hands up and say, hey, if demons can hold back answers to our prayer, why pray? Or does it do much good for us to pray? Well, why do we pray? Well, for one, because Jesus told us to pray. He told us to ask, seek, and knock. He told us specifically that certain demons can only be cast out by prayer and fasting in one place. Jesus modeled a powerful and effective prayer life, and he did spiritual battle very well. And part of it is because he was in tune with the Father through their communication in prayer. Obviously, Paul told us to pray without ceasing. James told us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But the kicker is, in our context, Daniel, this great man of prayer, and his success is obviously tied to prayer. Think about for a moment the episode in the lion's den. That's in Daniel chapter 6, and we are told there that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We're told that even when the king's edict was signed, that he did just as he did before. He went to his house, bowed on his knees 3 times a day, and prayed with his windows open towards Jerusalem. And remember again now, that was at the end of the 70-year Babylonian captivity. So I'm telling you, that man that got down on his knees to pray was 80, 85 years old. I tell you what, he was tapped into the God of heaven, wasn't he? And he was very effective in his prayer. So as a result, when in the lion's den there in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel said, my God has sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. Now that's effective spiritual warfare, isn't it? But, you know, if we looked at that through our modern-day eyes, and I think we're so familiar with that story, we forget how tragic it would be to be thrown into a lion's den. But just in the same way that, you know, being an effective prayer warrior, being a person that really loves God and that worships regularly and all that, that doesn't keep you necessarily from getting sick, does it? It doesn't keep you from necessarily having a wayward child. It doesn't keep you from having sick children or something of that nature. What it does is it brings the angels in that situation with you. It brings God in that situation with you. And that is so clearly seen that it didn't keep Daniel out of the lion's den. It got God's angel in there with him to do some business and to do something for God's glory. And that is what it is, right? That is what made one of those kings cry out, the God of Daniel is the true and living God. you know, even in the immediate context of Daniel chapter 10, Daniel did receive the answer to his prayer. You know, I'm just amazed, you know, even some of the commentators are hung up on the 21 days that this other one, you know, that the angel was held off on getting there. Well, yes, that is the interesting thing. That's part of why we're looking at this text tonight. But the truth is, Daniel got the answer to his prayer. It was delayed, but it wasn't denied. God got it there. So, yes, we need to be very effective in prayer. And finally, fourthly, I want you to see the insight about humanity. Yes, dare to be a Daniel. Live for the Lord like Daniel did, but learn to pray like Daniel did. See the need to expect spiritual battle. Daniel had a ton of it just all through his life. You know, it's just tragic in a certain way. We want to read about Daniel and we think, you know, couldn't 30 or 40 years after all that captivity, couldn't Daniel go back to Jerusalem and live a great life free from all of that kind of thing? But the truth is, he didn't do that. You know, he was in, yes, there was a period of time where he was the third highest in the kingdom, but I mean, when that was true of Joseph in Egypt, he was still in Egypt, right? We don't always get out of what God called us to do. But Daniel was very, very blessed. He was a very, very powerful warrior for God. And I believe that's what he wants me to be. I believe that's what he wants you to be. He wants you to think about how you can use the rest of your life for his glory. How you can be faithful no matter how bad the circumstances are around you. Job chose to praise the Lord even when it was bad. Daniel chose to praise and live for the Lord, even though everything around him was just terrible, 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 in terms of it being an environment that we would think would be conducive to living out our faith. The reason we say dare to be a Daniel is he lived it out in such tough condition. So we've got to expect spiritual battle. He lived for God's glory. And again, the closer you get to God, the more demons are going to attack you. The closer you get to the cross, the more Satan is going to oppress you. And take away the key of fervent prayer. This is something that's constant through Daniel's life. And as we've said, prayer didn't keep him from the lion's den. Prayer just got that angel and God in there with him in the lion's den. We're going to be studying the theology of it from Paul. And here's how he so much integrates prayer in that Ephesians 6 passage on spiritual armor, which you might be studying real soon in Sunday school, but we're going to eventually be studying it. But Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Verse 18 of that text says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So again, the warfare is real, and prayer is a very big key to tapping into the response God wants us to have and the power that he would love to send your way. We just can't stop the storm, but we can be prepared for it. I like the way Tony Evans said it. He said, "You can't stop the wind, but you can adjust your sails." And that's exactly the kind of thing we can do in regards to spiritual battle. We said before how we can't stop some of these tragedies and trials and demonic things that are unleashed our way. But we can choose how to react to it. We can respond God's way. We can adjust our sails when those items of warfare comes our way. Friend, I want to say to you, you have to be very careful. And I want to say this to you. Our church has to be very, very careful of the devil's devices and how he wants to attack and take down any church that's being faithful and trying to live for God. You know, he's going to try to find many ways to get in. And if he can find one somebody not walking with Jesus very close, if he can get us at each other, just three or four of us, he can wreak havoc in a moment, friend. And just like Daniel, we need to anticipate that's the kind of thing the devil wants to do. He wants you to be part of the inroad to derail the church and the vision that God has for us in doing his will. He certainly wants me to be the inroad into that, you see. So I'm telling you, expect that Satan is out there with his hook for you right now. He's out there with his bait in front of me right now. We don't have to take it. We can pray like Daniel did. We can be faithful if we avail ourselves to all the spiritual armor and prayer that we're going to be studying about in our study. Tony Evans said, again, you can't stop the wind, but you can adjust your sails. Rick Reiner had an insight, I believe, related to our study, and I'm leaving you with this. He said, here's what we must understand. As long as we do nothing for God, we can be confident that we'll face no challenge from the enemy. However, when we begin to do what God has called us to do and start experiencing a measure of success in it, we must stay mentally alert and aware. Countless churches have been split and destroyed right when they were on the verge of fulfilling their vision and accomplishing something important for the kingdom of God. The devil waits for an opportune moment to strike. Some of you have been around church long enough, you know that plays out in church, right? Just as the momentum's going, just as people are really starting to get saved and more getting to be baptized, just as when you see God's mighty hand in the mission trip, somebody or some group quits being alert. They don't even recognize what Satan's doing. And Satan can affect the whole church family because of that, particularly if it's a leader or two within. So I'm saying to you today, pray for yourself. Pray for the leadership in this church. You pray for me all the time. You know, I boldly ask you to do that. Know that I'm trying to pray for you very regularly as well. But do we think enough about the spiritual nature of our prayers? Not just, Lord, heal them. Not just, Lord, bless them and help them mature spiritually. God, protect them from the evil one. Jesus included that, didn't he? Don't lead me into evil. Help me not be tempted. See, I don't think we mention that enough. You know, maybe you're doing a better job of that than me, but I'm using it as a reminder tonight. We need to pray for God's help in those spiritual avenues, because the warfare around us is real. Satan wants to usurp God's control, and his demons are right there beside him trying to do it. We can easily be drugged into it. We will be affected by that warfare going on around us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to gather around your word tonight, and I thank you, Lord, that there is a wonderful, wonderful example for us in Daniel. He wasn't perfect, but he was very, very faithful. He was certainly a man of prayer. And yet we see, Lord, that those prayers were sometimes hindered by the evil one. They were delayed. But Lord, when the answer came, he had some mighty ones. He had some mighty answers. He got to observe you doing the miraculous around him, and he didn't demand that from you. He was just there when you protected him for your glory. You had him really as a missionary in a pagan land, and he stood up to the challenge. And I just pray, Lord, that we'd learn how to stand up to the challenge as we study him and the other biblical characters and the theology that you've imparted to us, Lord, to tell us how to stand firm. against the evil one's attacks. Lord, I pray tonight for special grace for some of our folks who, as an individual or as their family right now, they're enduring real, real trials, and some of it is because of spiritual battle. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help them withstand that. That you'd help them be the example for Christ in the midst of that tough situation by leaning on you, by praying passionately, by putting on the armor of God, by staying strong in your word, by being aware that Satan wants them to fall as well, and they should be aware and not sin. Lord, I pray that you would help those that might be here tonight that really don't know Jesus as Lord yet. I know that the enemy is whispering to them right now, don't follow Jesus today. Don't follow Jesus today. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would even more strongly, because we're praying for it, that you would convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment, that they might be willing to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, that their sins might be forgiven, that their life might be changed, that they might be living for the true and living God, even beginning today. Lord, I pray for those with struggles in their own personal life, that you would help them, Lord, to give up that temptation or that sin. Help them put it into your hands. Help them to understand it for what it is, an inroad. Satan is trying to get an avenue into their life that will keep them ineffective for you. I pray that they would confess that even tonight. Ask you to help them with your mighty power to overcome that sin in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church family to beware how Satan can so easily have one of us to be the way that he attacks our church. I pray that you'd remind us even this coming week, Lord, to pray very earnestly about spiritual things, that you would help us to stand firm as a church family, that you would help us not to give up when we're very close to seeing you do mighty things in the life of our church family. I pray that you would help those that are enduring some spiritual things that they could never have prevented, that's not about unfaithfulness in their life, and yet they have something that only you can help them with. I pray that they'd realize that's kind of a typical pattern in the Word. The closer we get to the cross, the closer we get to Jesus, the more Satan is going to oppose us. Pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.